Don't act like you're not impressed. I preach on a Sunday, last Sunday, and we're talking about the story of Jonah, for those of you that have been with us, for those of you that have not been with us. And I was talking about how Jonah was praying. Actually, God saved his life before this prayer takes place, from what we read. And I'm guessing Jonah would have been thrown a floaty, right? Or a life jacket, or some water wings. And I talked about how awesome water wings would be if they made them for adults. And I politely put the suggestion out there and told you all when my birthday was. It's November 15th, or Christmas, or whatever. And lo and behold, in my mailbox, somebody Amazon primed these suckers to me with no name. So whoever anonymously gifted me some adult water wings, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. This will actually make my shelf of oddities, which, strangely enough, includes a kangaroo scrotum bottle opener. I said it's odd, right? That came from Australia. My buddy took a trip to Australia, and his first time there, he brought that back to me, and he said, I thought of you when I saw this. Thank you? Anyway, I proudly display it. So thank you guys for these awesome water wings, whoever you are. I feel very loved. It made my day. I laughed. I giggled. I cried. It was amazing. So how was your week then? My week was awesome. How was your week? Really good. Anybody have a terrible week? One person that's willing to tell the truth. Anybody else? So-so week, two people, yeah? You had a really good one? I'm glad to hear that, my friend. That's awesome. Well, Jonah, we left him on this beach last week. So he's been hanging out there ever since. Okay? If you don't know the story of Jonah, let me catch you up real quick. God spoke to a prophet named Jonah. A prophet is a mouthpiece of God, is a person that's given a message from God to go speak it to a group of people. He was instructed to go speak to this massive city called Nineveh, and Nineveh is a large city that we'll find out it takes 3 days to get through. So I liken it to Disney World. Anybody ever been to Disney World and all the different parks? And you can kind of see everything in probably 2 to 3 days. Nineveh is that size, and God says, you need to go tell my people they're about to be destroyed because they've turned away from me. And Jonah says, okay, and he hops a ship and tries to travel 2,500 miles away from the destination of Nineveh. Okay? So he gets on a ship to sail away from Nineveh and not do what God asked him to do, and God stirs up the water and puts him in danger and puts the boat people in danger. And they throw him overboard at Jonah's request. If you throw me overboard, this will save your lives. And it'll probably mean death for me, but you'll be safe. And as we found out last week, God provided this massive fish to swallow Jonah. And then we heard this really crocodile, teary prayer from Jonah, right? Anybody here last week? Yeah. We heard this crocodile prayer of all these tears and, oh, I was going to die. Even though that's what Jonah had requested, that's what he wanted, and he changed his mind midstream. But it didn't change God's mind. God's mind has always been made up what Jonah needed to do. So we see this fish after this prayer, and again, this prayer wasn't magic words. This prayer wasn't even prayer of, like, recant, necessarily. But God's a gracious God, and God has this fish vomit, Scripture says, Jonah up on shore, and that's where we left him, just laying in the sand, covered in fish puke. Chum, should we call it that? Covered in chum and seaweed and all this stuff. Pretty awesome place, isn't it? What's that? So he's had a bad week, right? So he's had a bad week. So we pick up this story with Jonah on the beach. And the first thing it says is this. And if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Jonah. It's in the Old Testament. You can find it. Just go to the front of your Old Testament in the front of your Bible, and it'll tell you all this amazing stuff of like page numbers of where these things are at. Use that. It's awesome. We have since changed the way we're doing business here at Whitewater, and so we have provided copies, and they're like cheap case Bibles, okay? They're nothing fancy. They're not really that great, but we've been providing those for the last decade for free for people. And we've realized that technology is actually doing some really great things in terms of Bibles and apps and free Bibles and any kind of Bible you want, you can have on your phone right now. So what we want to encourage you to do is download a Bible to your phone. We want to encourage you to download it to your tablet or your iPad or whatever you've got. And there's two different sources that we really enjoy. I'm just going to say YouVersion. I'm going to clear up any confusion and find YouVersion Bible. Okay? It's awesome. Now, for those of you that are saying, I don't have a phone, I need a Bible, come and ask us, and we will buy you a way nicer Bible than a case Bible that you could be getting, okay? You come talk to us, and we'll make that happen. We think it's important that you have that. But we want to put our resources in smart places instead of just continuing to throw them away on some low-grade stuff for you, all right? Okay. Whitewater, you have forgotten the first rule of when Adam speaks. I like responses. Okay? When I first started doing this speaking gig, I hated it because I was always a musician in punk rock and metal bands, and we would tell the crowd to circle pit. Anybody know what that is? It means you run around in a circle and hit people with your elbows and hurt people, okay? That's what you do. And we would tell people, I want to see a circle pit right now on this song. And they would just, it was like a swarm of sharks just swimming in a circle. I come here and I speak, and everybody just sits silent for the full 3 hours that I speak. And I've never gotten used to that, and I never will as a public speaker. So your yeses and nos, I'm not asking to say amen. I'm asking to say yeah or no. Or if I ask you a question, answer it. Okay?
Yes.
Hey! We pick up this story with Jonah. Jonah's on the beach covered in vomit. And this is the first word. God breaks his silence and says this. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Remember, he's already told him once, right? I need you to go to Nineveh and tell these people they need to turn or burn, right? Essentially. He says this. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. It's weird. Jonah kind of had a change of heart after this whole fish thing, okay? Says this. Then this time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds. Everybody loves that guy, right? Anybody seen like the box soapbox preachers? Sometimes I've seen them actually at the university, which is interesting. Yeah? And they're just yelling at you, and they even have megaphones. I was at Vegas, and I saw it really hot and heavy with this guy in a megaphone just yelling angrily, and it was interesting because that's kind of what I envisioned this as Jonah shouting to the crowds. Jonah shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed! The people of Nineveh believed God's message. Even with Jonah being a jackwagon and just screaming it at him, shouting this message, this very hurtful, some might write him off as a crazy person message. But Nineveh had had truth at one time, from what I can understand, and they lost it along the way. And God says, you need to go and you need to tell these people they're far from me and I need them on board with what I'm doing, with where I'm at. And so Jonah goes and he tells this story, and Jonah didn't want to do it in the first place. Because I think Jonah was asking for something like a safer assignment, right? If you go to a giant city and you start yelling at people that God's going to kill you and destroy you, I'm guessing you're going to be met with free meals, people inviting you into their homes, a lot of warm handshakes and hugs, and thank you so much for that message, right? Probably the exact opposite of all those things. But it's an interesting thing because God just said, I just need you to go do this. And Jonah had already made up his mind of what was going to happen. Have we ever done that? Have you ever been in a situation where instead of going and talking to someone that you might have conflict with, you make up their side of the story? Have you ever had that happen?
Yes.
And you make up their side of the story, and you're like, if I say this, they're going to say this. And then I'm going to say this. And then they're going to say this, and then I'll have to end the friendship. Right? And then you have the conversation, and you're like, oh, that didn't go near as bad as I thought it would. Right? Well, similar is happening to Jonah. He goes and he speaks this message. He shouts it at them, and they have a change of heart. Not only did they have a change of heart, the people believed, the people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Now, back in the old days, when you fasted from food and drink, and not only did you do that, you wore really uncomfortable clothing, okay? Because they wanted to just, I don't know, somehow pay for their sin. They wanted to understand and be as uncomfortable as they could because they haven't been uncomfortable with it this whole time. So when they fast and they have these times of fasting, they want to feel and be there with every piece of their soul and body and mind. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? A lot of people will say they tear their clothes and lay on the ground and lay in sackcloth and ash, just kind of this miserable existence, but they want to have almost, it's like a forced empathy, I guess, or they want to feel it. So some of these people, from the greatest to the least, they do these things to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard, when it finally got around that Jonah's yelling at all his people, when the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes, he dressed himself in burlap, and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything. They're going to starve their animals, and the animals are fasting with them. My dog would be ticked. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God, not false gods, but to God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of this ocean, this waves, the thing that the ship was dependent upon that God stirred up, right? That God created a giant fish and employed to go swallow Jonah and puke him up. This God, the God that controls heaven and earth, the God that made you, the God that made me. Not even animals or your herds or your flocks may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. This is a king saying these things. This is a king who's He is above the law because he makes the law, right? He does what he wants. He answers to no one but himself. He's there. And he's calling his people there. It's pretty important stuff. And he knows that God is gracious, which is interesting. That there's a chance. So you're saying there's a chance, right? You're saying there's a chance that they're going to make it. Possibly God will be gracious enough. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. People, that's grace. That's mercy. That's the God that we serve. The God that looks at a giant city and sees people of violence, sees people of hatred, sees people that worship foreign gods, sees people that don't have it together, that are hurting, that are probably drug addicted, right? We don't have any of those here. That are probably porn addicted, that are probably worshiping at the religious sex shrines that have been put up all over the place. You read through Old Testament, it's all over. People would go worship by having sex. with temple prostitutes. Crazy things like this. And God looks down and he tells one man, I need you to go take this message and I need you to do this for me. And a whole city turns. Sounds impossible, doesn't it? Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? God won. God knew the hearts of his people. God knew what it would take. And it's interesting that it comes out of the mouth of Jonah, this guy who didn't want to give the message in the first place, who didn't even want to be on that level with these people. It goes on to say this. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah. Jonah's angry because God is merciful. And he became very angry himself, Jonah did. So he complained to the Lord about it. Weird, Jonah. You don't really see him complain about anything in these last four chapters, Jonah says this, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. Every time I say that word, it's a weird word. I knew that you are merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn your back from destroying people. Just kill me now. Lord, I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. You have this incredible work of God happen. Jonah is the star witness of all of this happening. Jonah's the man with the message. You would think if I was a pastor and everybody did what I said on a Sunday, oh, baby. I'd be patting my, do you see that? I spoke and they just did what I said. But Jonah is like, has a weird reaction to it. He's pissed. He's hurt. He's mad. This is why I didn't want to give the message, because you would save these people. And I sit and I sing songs like, Take a Moment, to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. And I'm like, that song doesn't fit with today's message. Okay? Because Jonah, there's no consoling him. There's no peace in his heart. He's mad because God showed up and did a God thing. And he had to be the sucker to do it. Something against his will, something against his own nature. It almost sounds like Jonah might have had some kind of a prejudice towards these people. Maybe it was a racism thing. He hated the Ninevites. He saw them as less than. He saw them as less deserving. I don't know. Scripture doesn't talk about it. But what it does talk about is he's angry because they now serve God. I'm baffled by that. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this as I read this chapter, and I'm like, when has this ever happened in my world? And then I had an altercation with one of my boys this week. And we reached this new level of relationship where he was screaming at me at the top of his lungs, as angry as possible. And I remember just standing there being like, this is the punishment I deserve. This is what I did to my parents. Anybody else? Okay. And in fact, my dad prayed earnestly in sackcloth and ash, God, give Adam children just like he was. And God answered that. I don't know why. I don't know why God answers those kind of prayers, but I always text him the finger when I get when I have these, when I have these interactions with him. But I have this interaction, and then I'm taking my other boy somewhere later in the day, and right after that interaction, I've taken my other boy with me, and he's curious about things. And so I told him, I said, son, this is exactly how I was with my mom and dad, your grandpa and grandma. And he says to me, but they still invite you, and they still want you around. And I was watching him process on this, like, deep, I'm about to cry, on this very deep level. And I'm explaining to him, I said, well, son, we work these things out. That's what we do as family. We work this stuff out. And I said, but when I was a kid, I used to fight my parents full well knowing I was wrong. Full well knowing that what I was after in the end, it was going to be wrong for me to fight. Did it stop me from it? No. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. I would fight for the wrong thing. And because it was almost just for the sake of winning something. And what it usually won me was a grounding. And my father was never, never, never a violent man, okay? But my brother and my mom tell stories. They said, we watched you push him so hard to the brink of just violence, physical violence. And he never hit me. But they watched him ball up his fists. By the grace of God, nothing ever happened because he would have just destroyed me. As angry as I made him. But all for the sake of what I wanted out of it. What I wanted out of the argument. Whether it was right or whether it was wrong. It didn't matter. I was going to fight for it. And I was going to stay angry about it. And I was going to win. My way was going to prevail. I can't help but think that that's more than just me. Because that very same thing happens today. With God. God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to go talk to this person. I don't want to have these people into our home. God, I don't want to be a part of the movement that you have here. In 2 weeks, we'll celebrate our birthday. 2 weeks, yeah. We'll celebrate our 10th birthday here. Of Whitewater being a church. We went from meeting on a living room couch to being in the high school, to being in our own space, and then being in here. And it's just beautiful. But what I came in with was an idea of what ministry was. And the people that I wanted to see in this ministry. I wanted to see a pretty church. Is that even such a thing? That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? A pretty church. I would even dare to say a hipster church. That sounds like a nightmare now, but a church full of hipsters that had deep pockets and knew how to give. That's an oxymoron. Okay? Okay? That's what I wanted. And I was ticked when it didn't happen. I was hurt. I was mad. And I prayed the obligatory prayers like, God, send us the child molesters, send us the drug addicts, the drug dealers, send us all of these people. And God answered that one. Just like he answered my father's prayer, God, give him a kid just like him. God answered that prayer and said, these are your people. These are the people that are going to change the world. These are the people that have said yes and are the goers and will say yes. These are the people that will repent. These are the people that will see me rightly and move the rest of the Laramie 2 steps closer to Jesus. And it took me a while because I said, God, I don't want that. Just like Jonah, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to make my life miserable because it's tough. Drugs make choices tough with people. They make my job hard. Alcohol makes my job hard. Any abuse of any substance or anything other than what God intended makes my job hard because we have to fight through these addictions before we can see God rightly. I didn't intend to be in the swamp. I didn't intend to wade through the swamp this whole time. So I was embittered for the first 3 years of my ministry. And I liken that to Jonah's story. I was mad at the movement of God. Some of you are that same way right now. You came in mad at the movement of God. Some of you have come with your parents, and you have no intention of ever coming to church after they leave you today. That's just the truth. I've been here a decade. I watch it happen all the time. because of something somewhere, something that happened in your home church or your church, your experience with God, someone. Actually, it's more with people, isn't it? It's not necessarily your experience with God, because God is a gracious, loving God. His kindness will lead you to repentance, okay? It's with people who destroy that message and live it out with wrong narratives and hurt and wound and kill and destroy. But some of you are here mad and angry at the movement of God. Some of you are here fighting the movement of God that he's trying to do in and through you, just like he did with Jonah. And you're at a place where you've heard a message and you've not delivered it to the people that it needs to be delivered to. You've not said one word. You've sat in fear and you've got on the boat to Tarshish. Okay? And you've ran the other way. Some of you are here and you've given the message, or you're a part of something, a ministry that God's called you to. He's called you into community, and you're bitter at him for it, and you're angry at him for it, because it doesn't look like, what did they say? I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. It doesn't look like how you predicted it would look, or it would go. It's crazy. Essentially, what we've been talking about is obedience this whole time. We don't like that word. We don't like that practice. But Jonah's so far out of whack that he sees the goodness and greatness of God firsthand, and he is angry. So, angry people. That's what we have to wrestle with today. There's more to the story. We'll get that to next week. Are you angry at the movement of God in your world right now? The very things he's calling you to, are you running away from? The very people he's calling you to be in community with, are you running away from that? Are you angry and embittered that he would call you into such terrible things? Are you angry at the movement of God in your world? If so, that's what we're going to talk to him about right now. Right now. There's nothing I can do for you. You got to take it up with him. I've got to take it up with him. So if your Christian life, if your life in Jesus, or non-life in Jesus at this moment, some of you probably do not know Jesus, and that's why we exist, okay? We exist to move everybody two steps closer, but man, if you don't know Jesus, we're glad you're here. But you need to be weighing in on this too. Because some of you are just carrying bitter, embittered things of this God that you can see is gracious, but you have some questions about. Some questions that make you angry, or some life situations that you've been a part of and seen that make you angry that don't jive with this loving God that we talk about. Let's go to God, angry people. Let's go to God, people, that this doesn't fit. God's plan, God's grace and mercy doesn't fit your idea of what it should look like. Let's talk to him right now about it. I'm going to give us a few minutes. It's going to be weird. It's going to be quiet. You're going to hear coughing and sneezing, maybe even a baby cry, God forbid. If one of your phones goes off, though, I will flip. Let's just go to God and talk to him. Bring these things to him. Work these things out with him. Let's pray. God, so often we expel so much energy on fighting the things that you tell us, on fighting even when we know we're wrong, fighting for different ways in which are acceptable for us to do what it is that you called us to do, making excuses. And at the end of the day, God, we find as we look back and we just see that all of our energy is wrapped up in that. And our begrudging natures and our begrudging hearts, that we would not do what it is that you've called us and asked us to do. And God, the nature of the message that you ask us to carry with us, it doesn't really matter what that message is. What matters is that you spoke it. What matters is that you've spoke it and you've asked us to respond to it. God, right now I just pray for forgiveness for myself. And we pray for forgiveness corporately for the times that we've just fought you tooth and nail, to the things that you've called us to the people that you've called us to the ways in which you've asked us to live, to the people that you've called us to be, because it doesn't fit with our idea of who you are or what you want from us. God, I watch you work in hearts all week long. I watch the aha moments in people when they start living as you have called them to live. And I watch that light bulb just flip on. God, I pray for that moment for all of us today. That it start today. God, if that light bulb's been burnt out, that we change it. That we repair it. That we make it be able to be turned on again to your ways, to your things that you are calling us into. God, these are the messages that are bracing us for the next 6.5 years of our future here in Laramie. These are the messages that are calling us as people who claim you, as people who live out our unique existence together here in this community of Whitewater. God, these are the messages that are the groundwork for changing the world for the next 6.5 years. This isn't light. This isn't something that we can take or leave. God, this is your call for us, your dream for us. So God, I pray that we stop fighting you, that we stop getting angry at your movement and us. It's confusing, I'll admit that. When you're calling us to a new way of life, when you're calling us to be a new creation. All the individuals in here, the message that you've given this morning to them in their specific, unique, beautiful situation, God, may they move in it. May we move in it together. And lean on one another in community. May we embrace this adventure that you've got us on. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Did you hear from God today? It's all I need is one person. That's it. All y'all are just thinking about where you want to go to lunch. pray you heard from God today, and I pray you're leaning into this stuff that's not just here this morning. I pray you don't walk out those doors and forget what's been said. That you get stuck in the trap of Jonah. I pray you're chewing on this stuff all the time. If you are and you need to talk to someone in regards to what you're hearing or what God's doing in your world, we want to talk to you. We want to pray with you. We got Matt and Luis up front. They want to talk to you. They want to pray with you. If you need Craig, he's here. If you need me, I'm here. If you need Gustav, he's back at the soundboard. Caleb, who is up here. Anybody on the band, come grab us. Just know that we're in process ourselves with this. But we'll give you what we got. And together we're going to change the world. You ready? Yes. Grace and peace.